I'd like to share with you this morning, and the title will be, You Will Receive Power When the Holy Spirit Comes. And so I've titled it, You Will Receive Power, and as being as it's today, it must be, we have received power. We must be, because it's talking about Jesus saying we will, and it must be today, we have received power, divine power within us. You know, I don't know about you, but I would like to see a lot more divine power in the church. I believe in general, I'm not talking necessarily River of Life Church, I'm talking in general, I don't think the church has understood the power of God. I really don't believe there is the power that raised Jesus from the dead showing in the church as a whole. And do you know, I'm really hungry for more of that. I'm really seeking God for more and more to see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ come, that as we say in these words in the prayer that Jesus taught us, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we say that your will be done, I think we very often think, well, come on God, where is your will in this? Well, his will is for each of us to be empowered. He's the one who wants to work through us. And when I see Acts 2, and we're going to go there in a moment, we see that there is a dynamic change in the disciples and all those who go about doing the work of Jesus. There is change. People can see. That's why they're drawn to Jesus. They can see that when he sends the apostles out, what happens? Well, let's just have a look at one or two things in this. We have the power. It's got in Acts 1. It says this, 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's what God wants for us today, 2018. The power of God is just the same today as it was in those days. Let me say this. The power did not die with Jesus or the apostles. The power of God is the same today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I really want us to get excited about learning more of the power of God in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I really do say this. We really need to take God at his word. I want to say this to you. Whenever you hear the word read or spoken, it's a good thing, not under your breath, but to just say a little bit out loud, amen. Why? Because you're agreeing with it. You're agreeing with the word of God. You're making a stand. Yes, I agree with that. Let's get those people. I don't mean you'll be shouting hallelujah all the time, but what I mean is be a bit more involved in what's happening. And we just need to see more and more of how and why God wants his power in us by the Holy Spirit. Let's just read from Acts 2, if you're there. Acts 2. 1 to 4 to start with. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated them, and they all come to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Just ask you a couple of things. You have probably got the gift of the Holy Spirit in tongues. If you haven't, it's something that I think you should desire. But if you have, do you use your gift of the Holy Spirit? I'm just trying to encourage you to do this, because if you will use the gift of the Holy Spirit in tongues, it will edify you. I'm just trying to encourage you to do that. If you've got the gift of the Holy Spirit, please use it more and more. As a child speaks, gradually they get more and more words they can say and speak. And so it is with us when we use the gift of the Holy Spirit in us and allow us to be powered by God. We can see wonderful things happen. And then it comes on a little while later in 2, and it says about Peter addresses the crowd. This is when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 a.m. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Church, you've got the gift of prophecy. Let's use it more. Let's hear the voice of God, and let's come and encourage one another with the gift of the prophetic. Jesus Christ is, and I say it again, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he lives in us. He lives in us. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead lives in us. Our expectation when we come here on a Sunday morning should see Acts 2 in this place and in our lives in other ways as well. But when we come here, we should expect to see miraculous things happen. We should expect to see people changed. We should expect healing. We should expect well-being. That's what Jesus Christ died for. That's what he came for, to help us. He is our helper. The Holy Spirit has given us the help we need to be overcomers. If we look at this and we can see, as I think it was Sean said, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, was tempted. But he overcame. What by? The word of God. He sent out the disciples. He sent out the 12. And they were so encouraged that God had given the power and authority. Then he sent out the 72. And they were so delighted that even the demons responded to them. And then at the end of the verse there it says, and I saw Satan fall like lightning. I'll say it again. We have the power to demolish every stronghold just like Jesus did. We need to come to that place where we really do understand and expect. If there's no expectancy, you can't give birth. You've got to expect. You have got to be there and understand the power of the Holy Spirit. They returned and they were so thrilled what Jesus had done for them. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Perhaps we should read that. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. Let me just get there. 1 Corinthians 12:7-11. This is what it says. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given a spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. To still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I want to just come there to verse 9, where it says, miraculous powers, or in the Old King James, mighty deeds. It's a translation of the word dunamis. The power is the dynamite, if you like, the Greek word for power. It is from this word that we derive the English word dynamite, which is very appropriate usage of this Greek word. Indeed, this is what it means. Explosive, superhuman power that comes from enormous energy and produces phenomenal, extraordinary, unparalleled results. Isn't that what we want to see in the kingdom of heaven on earth? I see some people, they're not even kind of thinking about it, I don't think. We really need to understand there's power in the Word of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word we need to really more and more have in our hearts, have in our spirits, and understand. I wonder how, and I'll come on to these things in a little time, but let me just say this. We have got spiritual fullness in Christ. Colossians 2:6-12. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and flowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elementary spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. In Christ, what are we doing with it? What are we doing with the power and the Holy Spirit who lives within us? Are we walking more and more? Are we changing? Are we changing? Can you see a change in your life? Can you see a closeness more and more with Jesus? Are we really taking those steps to him and seeing he is gradually taking the I out of me and changing it more and more like Jesus? That's what he wants for us. He wants the I. Like dear Gordon Whittle used to say, I have been crucified with Christ. He wanted the I crucified out of him so that Jesus could dwell in him more and more. It is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. That's what Jesus wants for us. It really, really is. It says in 2 Timothy 1:6-7, for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Power and love, self-discipline. Fan into flame. Do we need to encourage one another a bit more to fan into flame? I think that's what it means, really. You need to get involved in the Word and see what it says to you. But we also need to come together. And are you an encourager? Are you someone who wants to build people up? Are you someone who really wants to see the demonstration of God's power and work, not only in your life, but in others? Isn't that what we want? He says this in Ephesians 1:8-21. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same power and mighty strength he exalted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the heavenly realms. We need to be carriers of the presence of God. When we come here on a Sunday morning and we sing praise and we sing worship, we need the presence of God. We really do need that fullness and power of God to be in this place in more and more depth. Because when we are in that place, then we've got the presence of God with us and the power of God with us. As we sing and praise God, people will be healed. People will be set free. People will see and understand the loveliness and the goodness of Christ. So, what can we do to enable this to happen in our everyday lives? What can we be involved in? One of the things that I've been reading quite a lot and understanding perhaps a little more, love must be the most important ingredient. I think we'd all say to that, because God is love. The next thing I would say we need to understand more is compassion. Compassion is actually being involved with something and doing something. Feeling sorry is just feeling sorry for someone as you pass them by, perhaps. But have compassion is actually doing something about the situation. And Matthew 9:36 says this, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. Are you a worker in the harvest field? Are you a worker who goes out there and shows that love and compassion that Jesus did? I need to learn more of that. I need to have more compassion. I'm seeing wherever Jesus went, he had a lot of compassion wherever he went. We could all see that. Also, if you read it in Mark 6:34 and Mark 8:2, Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:12, which says, clothe yourselves with compassion. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Compassion not only releases the power of God, but it also attracts the power of God. Let's have compassion. Let's not go around judging people. Let's have compassion on them. People need compassion and love to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unity. We need unity in the church of God. We need unity in the brethren. We really do need to be speaking good of one another, helping one another, blessing one another, encouraging. As in Colossians 2:2, my goal is that you, me, may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that we may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that we may know the mystery of God, namely Christ. Ephesians 4:3 is about unity in the body. Romans 15:5 is about endurance, encouragement, and attitude. What's your attitude like? What's my attitude like? Have we got the right Christ-like attitude to others? The other thing I would say could help us immensely is watch our mouths. Proverbs 8:21 says, "The tongue has power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So let's eat some good fruit. Let's enjoy some good fruit together. Let's encourage one another on and on. Speak the word in season and out of season, uphill and downhill. Don't part for the word of God or from the word of God. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken." We really do need to know that when we speak against the word of God or not for the word of God, it is not compassion at all. We're taking the power out of the word of God. We need to know when we use the word of God, we should expect great things to happen. The word of God is truthful. The word of God is there for us. The word of God is a demonstration telling us what Christ did and what he's hoping and praying that we will do. He is a covenant-keeping God. And I would say very often when you hear people, and I'm not in this church particularly, but when you hear people speak, why do they not understand the new covenant from the old? The new covenant is Jesus Christ did it all for us. By the grace of God, he shed his blood that we may be set free from sin and death. He's done the whole thing for us. Let us rejoice and be glad and be great apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us walk in the fullness that he has for us. Let us understand that Jesus Christ loves you through and through. Have you been a villain in your life? Have you done things bad? Yes, all of us had, but it's Christ's blood that sets us free. Let us be those people who find that fullness in Jesus living in us. Because he lives and we die. That's what it amounts to. I don't mean die physically, I'm talking, which we will do, but I'm talking about allow his spirit in us to take more and more control of us. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself, but I'll just keep on speaking to myself. Because I need to know more and more about what it is to die to self, to live for Christ and help others as we go through life. That, to me, is what I read in the Word. That's how I see it. Am I greedy sometimes? Yes. Do I know that I am? Yes. Do I keep on doing it? Yes, I do sometimes. I'm just being honest about it. But we can learn and change if we will come before God, because the power that is in us is him, and he wants to do that for us and through us. And so today, I want us to really think about what we can do to help a covenant-keeping God work within us more and more to be able to do what Christ wants us to do. Because I'll repeat it, when I read the word, I realize how far short I am in what I see the Bible says I should be. Jesus Christ has done it for me. He's bridged the gap. Praise God. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Oh, good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 15 says this. Please, let's listen. "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those insults you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might hope for. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give us the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice we may all glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. And I say this to us, I really do. As we look at what we've tried to bring across this morning, may we truly come to the understanding fully, God loves us. He's for us. He's bought us. He's paid the price for us. He's done everything he can to bring a redemptive work into us. Surely he's done it all. May we come and be used by him to enable his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Use me, Lord God, I pray, that we may truly see one another filled with a love and a compassion, not only for one another, but for those who don't know you, knowing that Jesus Christ has set us free because of his love, compassion, and kindness for us. God bless you. Amen.